Welcome back to The Modern Democracy. It is so wonderful to have you here with me today. In this episode, we are going to be delving into the world of political parties, their differences, their primary ideologies, and their core values, focusing on our two big parties that just dominate the conversation every single day, and that's the Coalition, or the Liberal National Party, and the Australian Labor Party. Through all of the slogans and the promises and the quick turnovers of prime ministers all throughout the government, it can be seriously so hard to see the differences between these groups. And hopefully by having a closer look at them both, you'll be able to get a clearer view of what they want to do in Parliament and what they do in Parliament House. And also by sussing out what they're standing for, you'll definitely be able to understand why these groups make the decisions that they do. And hopefully as well, when an election comes about, you'll be able to look past the myriad of election promises and see their true motivations and vote for what you believe in and how you think Australia should be run. Just a disclaimer today too, I am trying to my best to not adopt a position of persuasion for today, aiming to remain completely partisan, laying out the facts, because simply put, you are more than entitled to believe in whatever you want to believe and align with whichever party you choose, or you might align with no party today mentioned at all. Many elements of what I'm going to discuss come from the written statements of both parties, things that are actually in the numbers in both of their policies and their legitimate history, and what they've been able to demonstrate to the public. So let's jump straight in and get started. The Liberal Party and the Labor Party are both two major political groups in Australia. And a party is not conventionally what we might think it is, but it's instead a group or organisation of people who literally just share a set of ideas, beliefs, and values. The people who are part of both of these groups join because they are committed to these big general principles that both of them stand for. And both of these groups, as we've touched on in our last episode, attempt to get as many people elected to the House of Reps and the Senate so they can pass laws and affect the way Australia is governed. First up, we have the Australian Labor Party, or the ALP. It's Australia's oldest political party at 130 years old, and it was brought about by the labor workforce union movements from the 1890s, and that's why it's commonly named the Party of the Worker. It's responsible for the creation of some of Australia's most prized national possessions, namely our free healthcare, our superannuation, our minimum wage, and virtually all of our workers' rights like national employment standards, penalty rates, overtime pay, and many more. They've also had many royal commissions into Indigenous issues, they started the National Disability Insurance Scheme, and they even created the Harbour Bridge. They are Australia's centre-left party, or left-wing. This means they have the core values of equality, reform, and progress, and they take a notable collective focus on society as a whole. And they've had many prime ministers that you probably will recognise, like Kevin Rudd, Julia Gillard, Paul Keating, Bob Hawke, and Gough Whitlam. The Labor Party place a great emphasis on equality, with majority of their policies focusing on achieving and promoting this objective. They're big believers in everyone having the same opportunities, regardless of how much money you have, where you live, and they're big on equal access to things like education, employment, and housing. Their coined phrases are a fair go and no one left behind. They have, over the course of a long time, had a great history with advancing the rights of women. They're responsible for the first two women ever elected to the New South Wales Legislative Council. They're responsible for the first Indigenous woman to federal parliament, the first female premier and the first female deputy premier, and the first female prime minister. Basically, we can semi-conclude that majority of our female firsts are attributed to the ALP. Really big on what we call the clean energy transition, which is starting up a renewable energy and transitioning out of coal in order to look after our environment. They're also big on full employment. So basically, anyone who wants a job can have a job. They're big on modernising infrastructure, long-term economic growth through starting up businesses and innovation in science. And the Labor Party historically has been very pro-multiculturalism and very pro-Indigenous rights. Its main voting base consists of young people, middle-class people, and working-class people. Next, you have the Liberal Party. This was created in 1944 by Robert Menzies, and it's responsible for greater gun control, things like offshore detention, and has some of our longest-serving prime ministers in its party. Its taglines historically have been jobs and growth and stronger economy. Ministers you may have heard about who are part of the Liberal Party are Scott Morrison, John Howard, Malcolm Fraser, and Harold Holt. Its main voting base are business owners who are small and corporate, upper middle class, with about 16 out of the 20 richest electorates are Liberal seats, and socially conservative middle class and working class. So the Liberal Party is our centre-right party, or our Conservative Party. This means they are big on individualism, the individual before the collective, believe in smaller government and limited government intervention, and they believe pretty strongly in capitalism. So this is the private ownership of property, meaning the government virtually owns nothing, it's just individuals and big companies. For example, our electricity or transport would be owned by a big company, and they have free enterprise, which means the economy has no government intervention and just operates off supply and demand. They believe that by regulating less economically and getting involved less and the government providing less, people will be free to make more money, do as they please, and live in an equitable society. The Liberals are also strong social traditionalists. This means they are everything they believe is synonymous with traditional gender roles, the heteronormative family structure, opposition to same-sex marriage and abortion, depending upon what faction you're in. So now that we've seen a basic overview of what both of the parties are, let's talk about what areas they majorly differ on. So firstly, you have the historic difference. The Liberal Party was quite pro-capitalism and they wanted a small government. This means they didn't really want the government having a big role in anyone's life. They wanted a free market, which means they didn't want the government regulating the economy at all. They wanted a user-paid private health system and a user-paid education system. That basically means that they didn't want the government funding public health or public education. And they wanted concentration of individual wealth. They basically were saying that if you have money, you don't deserve to be taxed for it, you've earned it. And Labour was skeptical of capitalism. They wanted government to have a big role in curbing the negative effects of it. They thought that capitalism essentially brought about a lot of inequality. They were seeking more laws to constrain big business, and they wanted to tax individuals and corporations so they can redistribute the income. And they wanted the government to pay for things like public health and education. Another historic difference, and a difference that I reckon continues today also, is Labour's championing of marginalised groups and seeking equality, whereas the Liberal Party is big on respecting traditional social hierarchies and respecting all these traditions. So you have the ALP as the progressives who are looking for change and reform, and you have the LNP, who are the traditionalists or the progressives. The major areas I've chosen to compare today are taken from the ABC's 2019 survey on what broad areas are important to everyday voters. The first one is climate change and the environment. This is something that we are talking about in the media all the time, and it seriously dominates everyday discourse. So the Liberal Party over recent years has not favoured environmental concerns. Its largest donations to the party do come from big coal and gas businesses, and they don't have any policies on having a net zero target that lines up with the rest of the world. They have no plans to phase out coal with our 2021 federal budget, only spending $600 million on a small-scale station in Kurri Kurri, which operates for 10 minutes a day. And $600 million might seem like a lot, but in the grand scheme of things, it is a very, very minor amount. As opposed to Labour with their rewiring the nation policy, they're promising $40 billion to forefront renewable energy and investing $20 billion to rebuild and modernise Australia's energy sector. They want to create heaps of jobs and actually invest in the future so we can still have an earth, basically. And right now, it is just a fact that the Liberal Party are seriously not big on climate change. Scott Morrison's fellow counterparts in the Liberal Party are speaking out against his lack of climate change policy and how bad it is. And we're definitely out of sync with the world on climate policy. So we're actually ranking last for climate action among UN member countries. So, you know, if climate change is a deal breaker for you, you probably will not be supporting the LNP next election. Second, you have the economic difference. This literally just means they have different ideas on how the production and distribution of all the goods and services in Australia should be allocated to people. So the Liberal Party are what we know as the trickle-down economics guys. They believe that by having big business, say, pay less tax and giving them more benefits, the wealth that they create eventually, as the name says, trickles down to everyone else. So basically, by cutting taxes for rich people, working class people's standard of living will increase. I will say, though, that it has been proven multiple times that trickle-down economics has multiple flaws and doesn't really appear to work. They've got thousands of peer-reviewed studies from Nobel Prize-winning economists that state it's not really effective. It doesn't seem to create jobs or wage growth or income growth or economic growth, and it almost appears to further inequality and seem like free handouts to the rich. And it has been, in multiple papers, been attributed to our growing rate of income inequality in Australia, with now 13% of the country in poverty. And some people theorize that by giving more money to rich people, essentially, you leave no money for the government to spend anything on social programs and providing support to people who might need it. However, that is certainly a bit more of a Labour argument. I, however, reckon that trickle-down economics doesn't actually work, and it just seems to make everything more unequal. So they strike for a compromise or a balance between the governments regulating the markets and just letting market forces set production. So they're a balance between the free market and a bit of regulation. While they still have governments publicly owning assets in Australia, they reckon that by intervening, you're stopping all that mass equality and making sure that you have people and the government who are owning production, and by doing this, you're attempting to make sure everyone has a bit of a fair share. But this policy definitely still has its faults too. It can totally be argued that Labour's heaps of regulating can stunt economic growth and can disincentivize business and stop people from actually wanting to innovate and start a business. And some people believe that there's a cost on the economy that people are going to have to pay for with all their spending. Thirdly, you have First Nations affairs and people. Labour has had a very long history with Indigenous affairs. So you've had Prime Minister Paul Keating delivering his world-renowned Redfern speech and the Native Title Act. You've had Kevin Rudd delivering his sorry speech, and you've had Gough with them and his involvement in the Wave Hill walk-off. So the Labour Party are also responsible for implementing, with what I'm sure you've heard about, our Close the Gap targets. So they've dedicated $4.6 billion in funding to ensure that we have equity in our outcomes between Indigenous Australians and non-Indigenous Australians. Under Liberal governments, we've had 534.4 cut under Tony Abbott from the program, and Scott Morrison cut $500 million from these two. So in 2021, the Liberals announced that they'd be giving $45 million to these targets, but that's only 1% of what Labor had proposed, so you can definitely see a bit of a value statement here. You've also had John Howard's Indigenous Affairs Minister deny that the Stolen Generations had ever occurred. And Labor's really big on having an Indigenous voice in Parliament and having an Indigenous Minister for Aboriginal Affairs. So basically, for the position of Aboriginal Affairs in the Cabinet, he wants someone who is an Indigenous Minister. And they want to have a justice initiative for the 474 Indigenous Australians that have died in police custody. Another difference is the idea of whether or not Australia should be a republic or we should remain a constitutional monarchy. So basically, the Liberal Party are monarchists. They believe that we should keep the Queen and remain a constitutional monarchy. They hold that she's a symbol of stability and a representative of our ties to England and our status still as a British colony. The Labour Party, however, would prefer to have us as a republic, as a separate entity free from any kind of status as British colonial rule, and they would not like to have our Queen as our head of state. Another difference you've also got is an education difference. The Liberal Party are quite big on funding private education as opposed to public education, and the Labour Party are quite big on public education as opposed to private education. So these definitely are some of our major differences. They're certainly not all, but they're some of the biggest ones that we have between the two parties in Australia. So to recap, you have the Liberal Party and you have the Labour Party. The Liberal Party are big on things like small government, the individual, and what we know as trickle-down economics. These guys are the conservatives or the traditionalists. Whereas Labour, they're bigger on a larger government with a more collective focus on equality, and they like to compromise on their economic policy between free markets but with regulations so they can stop inequality. And this was definitely a big episode, and I 100% promise they will get shorter and more concise as time goes on. So hopefully you have learned something and you can now see a difference between the two parties and what they're standing for. Hopefully once we have an election called as well, I'll be able to produce another podcast episode where once the policy is released, I'll be able to go through in depth and figure out exactly what it's going to mean for you. And our next episode will be looking at the housing crisis under the Liberal government and how it's actually impacting people like you and me, young Australians. So the Modern Democracy as well now has an Instagram account, and I'm going to link that in the description so you can go follow, and please feel free to ask me any questions on there as well. So next episode hopefully is going to be a good one, and I hope to see you back. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, and I will see you soon.